The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts at 41 Cross Street, just above the fabulous and tasty Alto Forno Restaurante. If you haven't been there in a while, check it out. The ambience in there is just amazing. Anyways, we're on the second floor, so you can look up. But if you're there early in the morning, we're not there. We're there, early in the morning on weekends, we're not there. We're there 8:30 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday. And as I look across the street at the beautiful North Beverly train station, it's looking pretty barren here. Looks like nobody decided to wake up today. You know, it's May, folks. People are doing stuff around the house. Little League season. Right in the midst of Little League season, Sox are playing all right. You know, they got brought back down to earth a little bit. Sorry, you cannot take an 18-2 start and figure, just extrapolate that out for 162 games. That just doesn't happen. Sox have got a good team, a competitive team. They'll be a lot of fun to watch. How about the Celtics? They're doing all right, too. We can't complain about them. Bruins are out, and the Patriots start up in just a few months, actually. We got lots of stuff going on here. Lots of things to talk about from a Massachusetts sports standpoint. But lots of great stuff going on here right on the North Shore. Whether you're at Cape Ann, I mean, the beaches are now open. Go visit those if you want. The North Shore Music Theater opens up. MAME opens up on, I think, June 2nd or June 3rd. I was out hanging out with Karen Nesembetty, and she's always out and about town telling you about what's going on at the theater and a lot of other places on the North Shore. We are the Broadway Club sponsors at the Music Theater, and we will be that again this year. I think we've been doing it for, decade at least. So if you happen to be at the Broadway Club and I'm around and you find me, they slide me a bunch of free drink tickets. So if you see me at the Broadway Club, just say hello and maybe I'll slide you a drink ticket. And hey, who doesn't want a free drink? Anyways, we are here to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do it locally. We do it right here in Beverly. Our office has been in Peabody for 50 years. I mean, how many financial planning and investment management firms can you say have been providing financial advice in a language you can understand to residents here on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since April 10th of 1968. No, I wasn't doing it. I was 2 years old. I was in diapers. I actually don't remember when my father started the firm. Frankly, truth be told, I frankly didn't even know what my dad did for work until 1990 when my wife finally said to me, Mark, are you going to be selling Chinese food takeout containers for the rest of your life? If we're going to get married, I think we need to come up with a better occupation for us. And so I took my dad out to the Sylvan Street Grill. Actually, he took me out because I didn't have two nickels to rub together. We went out to the Sylvan Street Grill and we sat down, had lunch. And I said, Dad, what do you do? And I knew it had something to do with money, but I really didn't get it. And Dad's eyes lit up because never, ever, ever in the first 24 years of my life had my father ever been asked that question of me expressing interest and wanting to learn about his business. And for 2 hours, we sat at Sylvan Street Grill enjoying my Reuben sandwich, which I always get at Sylvan Street Grill. And I learned how much my father loved the business and how much I could fall in love with the business simply because each day is different, each client is different, each situation is unique. And the wants and needs and the understanding of what people have when it comes to money is truly interesting, truly fascinating. What you believe is most important about money is different from what's most important to somebody else. You know, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about wealth in America and income in America. And I think I've been opening your eyes to a lot of things as to what, you know, the answer to the question that people generally ask me is, how am I doing? How am I doing compared to everybody else? Everybody wants to know the answer to that question. Am I making enough money or what is a lot of money? And I always found that fascinating. I even remember graduating college and someone said, oh, I'm going to be making a lot of money out of college. Now, I graduated Babson College in 1989, and just yesterday, my daughter Mindy graduated Babson College with a bachelor's degree in management and leadership, and she will be starting her job at Eaton Vance. I had the great pleasure this week of going to a pinning ceremony where legacies get to pin their children who have now become legacies, who will be soon become legacies, of course, at Babson. And so it was Mindy insisted that I was going to cry. I said, I am absolutely not going to cry. It's not that big of a deal. What, sticking a pin on your daughter? Big deal. Niagara Falls. Is that what they... I forget what movie that was from. But yeah, it happens. And yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So she laughed at me while I cried. So she didn't even cry. You know, it was kind of like my wedding. And I know I digress here. But September 6th, 1992, I'm standing in under the chuppah, as they refer to it, that little four poles and a sheet that you're under. You stand under with your bride at the Temple Raham and Newton. And as the rabbi's talking to us, and, you know, the whole thing is coming to a conclusion here, I'm looking at my wife, and she's looking at me, and tears are rolling down my face, and Laura is hysterically laughing at me. It's supposed to be the other way around, isn't it? But no, that wasn't the case. Anyways, I do digress a bit. We were talking about understanding of money and people and making sure, how am I doing compared to everybody else? I remember my first day coming out of school, and I think I made $24,000 or $25,000 coming out of school. And someone said, oh my God, I got a job. I'm making so much money. I'm making $33,000 a year. And it began to occur to me, what is so much money? How do you know you're making so much money? What does that really, really mean? And what I've learned over my 28 years of doing this in the business is so much money means absolutely nothing. You know what matters more as far as I'm concerned? Not what you make, but what you keep. And oftentimes we are measured in America through a lot of the news programs that come out, statistical reports, research that comes out. We're all measured based upon our household or individual income. And I'm going to share some statistics that I've shared in the past, but now I have more information to add to it because, you know, I've talked about it's not what you earn, it's what you keep. Well, I have the what you keep information now, and so we're going to kind of add to this. We're going to parlay this. So last week I had the opportunity to speak at the Christian Covenant Academy in Peabody. Someone had listened to my radio show, and they said, hey, would you mind coming out and talking to our class? A few people have heard this recently. I've spoken at Phillips Exeter in Exeter, New Hampshire. I did something at Andover High School. I did something at Masco. I did this Christian Covenant Academy in Peabody, which to me was the old JFK Junior High School. I was the last class out of the Kennedy Junior High School on Pine Street in Peabody, and now it's mostly this school that's over there, but other places are renting space as well. So I go over there, and I talk to the kids about, I ask them the question, what do you think after you graduate college, and these are seniors, what do you think you'll make when you graduate college? What would be an outstanding income to be making when you're out of college? And they'll go, $11 an hour? $12 an hour? So I say to them, wait a second. How many of you are seniors? Yeah. Well, we're now sitting here in May or end of April at the time when I did this. Where are you going to school? And the kids are telling me where they're going to school. I said, great. I said, what's it cost to go to school? $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. I said, so let me be sure I'm right here. You're going to ask mom and dad to fork out $60,000 for 4 years. That's $240,000 a year for you to finish up college to say, geez, if I could get this great job paying me $11 an hour, that'd be awesome. You can get an $11 an hour job today. Actually, you can make one probably making $15 or $16 babysitting. And you do not need a college degree for that. And so we have these humbling conversations with the kids. We talk to them whether it makes sense to move back home or to move out and all that kind of stuff. But then I try to give them a perspective of what does income in America really look like? What does it really look like? So what we found out is that there are 131 million households in America. I think you've heard the term that there's 360 people in America, and that can be all different ages, but there are 131 million households in America. So a report that came out through, what's this? There's a website, a new website that I love. It stands for don'tquityourdayjob.com, but the acronym is DQYDJ.com. One of the things that's fascinating about this website, tons and tons and tons of information about economics, about calculators, about personal finance, all sorts of things. You want to get right down and dirty to the basic information with good supporting documentation behind it, go to this website, don'tquityourdayjob.com, spelled DQYDJ.com. So I go to this website, and it confirmed what I had already read, because they're picking up stuff right off the Census Bureau that says that the average household income in America, a household could be two people, it could be a family of four, household meaning mom and dad, partners, whatever, filing your tax return, you get your 1040, this schedule 1040 that you do of your taxes at the very bottom right-hand corner, of your tax return that's called your adjusted gross income, that number is $46,000. Average household income in America, $46,000. You know what that means? Remember, the 132 million, you can do the divide thing. Divide 132 divided by 2. Well, you're running about 66% of 66 million people would be under $47,000 a year. 67 million households under $46,000. So we talk about with the kids, I said, so if $46,000 is the household middle is the average household income in America, would $46,000 be considered middle class? And they look at me like, I guess. Well, if you're a household making $46,000 a year, do you consider yourself middle class? Doubt it. So what I'm trying to do is give you a perspective on what you hear and the skewed sound bites that you might hear on the news versus financial advice in a language you can understand. We're kind of expanding it out now. Now, that's $46,000 nationwide. If you go to Arkansas or Iowa or Wyoming, the average household income there might be significantly less than $46,000. There's a lot of farmers that make $10,000, $12,000, $13,000 a year. Remember, if you get paid in cash, if the bulk of your income is cash and you're not reporting it on a tax return, you're skewing the numbers lower. Makes sense, right? Because you're not reporting it to the government. But the average household income in America is $46,000. So I said, let's push it a little bit. Let's come on out here to the East Coast here. We'll go to Massachusetts. What is the average household income in Massachusetts? Now, I didn't say Beverly. I didn't say Marblehead. I didn't say Dover. I didn't say Wellesley. Average household income in Massachusetts, $63,000. How you feeling right now? Average household income in Massachusetts, $63,000. Is your household doing better or worse than that? Do you even know? It'd be nice to know, wouldn't it? Remember, so we're talking about what the average household income is in Massachusetts, and we're coming up with that number by going to a website that is called DQYDG, don'tquityourdayjob.com, which is kind of a portal, an aggregator for a lot of different economic pieces of research. $63,000 average household income in America. But you must say, well, we got to include North Adams, right? And we got to include Marion, Massachusetts, and what are some of the other ones that are Belchertown? I mean, I don't know what the average household income. So we're not just talking about Beverly here, we're talking about Massachusetts. So then I said, all right, let's skew this thing up to the North Shore. You know, the Andovers, North End. I mean, that's Merrimack Valley. So Danvers, Beverly, Peabody, Salem, Hamilton, Wenham, Manchester by the Sea, and all of these others. Marblehead. We look at all the numbers and we put it all together. And you know what that household income number is? We've gone from 63,000 in Massachusetts. 63,000 is the average household income in Massachusetts. What is it on the North Shore? Well, you stay right there. We'll have that answer for you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, where we have been providing financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families who live all over the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area. We've been providing it to you since 1968. Hard to believe how many financial planning firms have been around since 1968. Well, I was two, so I can't take credit for delivering that advice for that many years. I give that credit to my father, who started our firm back then. Actually, Dad, if you were to pull up, when you think about my father, if you actually went to the Amazon or the Library of Congress and you pulled out a book that's called The Encyclopedia of Financial Planning, where it all started, my dad is listed as one of the original financial planners in this country. There were 46 of them. Now, Dad wasn't in the first 15 or 20. He came in the second year, but they were all considered pretty much founding fathers of that. So kudos to Dad for really stepping out and doing financial planning, and he's been a great resource and mentor to me as we have developed this practice over 50 years. Dad retired in 2007, January 1st of 2007, so he has been out 11 years, and what's he doing today? Dad is actually in Normandy today, Normandy, France. He's traveling for a month. That doesn't stink. You know, he took the month off. Well, he actually takes the year off as he's a retiree. But Dad decided to take the month of May off. Chose not to come to my daughter's college graduation, but he took the month off and hung out in France. Nevertheless, Dad's having a great time, and he was a great resource and mentor to me. I took over the firm in 1991. I'm sorry, I started working at the firm in 1991. I took over the ownership of the firm when Dad retired in 07. In 2000, I brought on my business partner, Marion Gilman, who you've heard here on this radio show many, many times, and she'll be back many times again. Marion's been with us 18 years, and the two of us run Friedman Financial in our treetop offices above the fabulous Alto Forno restaurant on 41 Cross Street in Peabody. Just wave to us as you drive by. Did you know over at the mall, by the way, lots of restaurants opening up? Tony C's now open. Cafe Nero, I think, is opening up within days. Lots of great stuff going on over at the North Shore Mall. I mean, face it, folks. That mall has gone through multiple iterations of change. When I was a kid growing up in Peabody and Rolling Hills, I remember the North Shore Mall as basically an open-air mall. You know, you walked through the mall, and you walked through the mall by entering past who? Those toy soldiers, right? Those giant toy soldiers. And I was one of those kids, still have pictures of me sitting in the boats or on those motorcycles that would just go around in a circle, ringing the bell, honking the horn. My parents would let me do all that stuff, and they had the little amusement rides out front. Remember that? For those of you that have been around and have been around Peabody and the North Shore for as long as we have, you can remember those things. There was Almy's that was over there. There was Herman's Sporting Goods. There was actually the Wardhurst Restaurant. The Wardhurst Restaurant, owned by Peter Routsis at the time. Wardhurst is over on Linfield Street now. But the Wardhurst originally was over at the mall. It was actually called, it wasn't called the Wardhurst. It was called something else, something's Tavern. Oh, it's killing me. I forget what it was. But it was, it'll come to me. Whaler's Tavern, maybe? Whaler's Pub? I don't know what it was called. But if someone knows, don't call in because I'm not answering phones today here in the studio. But just, you know what I mean. There was lots of great restaurants. In fact, Freddie Smuckler, who I don't know if he's listening today. Freddie Smuckler used to be a superstar with the Beverly Football High School team. Freddie used to work the Thai store. There used to be a Thai store, a little kiosk that was out there in the mall in front of Almy's. So shout out to you. And also, North Shore Mall, years ago, home of the fabulous Jordan Marsh Blueberry Muffins, which apparently now you can still get at Jordan's Furniture in Avon. See, we're just a plethora of information here. We give you financial advice in a language you can understand, local news you can use, statewide news you can use. I just want you to have a great time listening to the show. So, but I want to bring us back, though. Let's come back in here because I left you on a cliffhanger. We were talking about what does the average household income of the North Shore look like? We talked about what the average household income of America was. 132 million households in America. Average household income, $46,000. Now, that covers from Augusta, Maine, all the way down to San Diego, California, and everything in between. So then we said, okay, let's skew it and move it up a little bit towards Massachusetts. Massachusetts, the state of, I don't know, what is it? 200 and something cities and towns. If I watched that lottery commercial enough time, I'd probably remember what that number is. But of Massachusetts, average household income in Massachusetts, $63,000. And now we go to the North Shore. The North Shore, the home of Beverly, Danvers, Manchester by the Sea, Hamilton, Wenham. There's so many great towns in the North Shore. So many great towns in the North Shore. And even Cape Ann, we'll even include Cape Ann in the list. Average household income is $91,000. $91,000. So think about that. So if you're living here on the North Shore, $91,000 is the average household income, plus or minus. How are you feeling about that? You know, I think that's pretty accurate for the North Shore, probably plus or minus. Fair enough. So now let's take those numbers and let's drop them on a chart. Let's drop them on a chart because we're talking about in these earlier segments both about what does it mean to make a lot of money from your perspective and then from the national perspective. But making what you make, you know, to me does not impress me. I don't care if you make $600,000 a year or $16,000 a year. What impresses me is not what you make, but what you keep. And we're going to get to the what you keep part in just a second. So hang tight there. So let's put that 90-some-odd thousand dollars that we said on the North Shore, the $92,000, $93,000 of average household income here in the North Shore. How does that fit into the whole scheme of America? All right, well, let's put things into perspective. We've all heard of the one percenters, right? Elizabeth Warren could try to drill that message into your head. The millionaires and billionaires that are out there. All those terrible one percenters. It's horrible that they're part of 1%. And they just keep stealing and stealing and stealing and making all these stuff. They're getting richer while everybody else is getting poorer. Wah, wah, wah. So, you know, sorry, but, you know, hey, if you work hard and you can make the money, so be it. That's what happens here. But what would you have to make? What would you have to make to be considered part of the 10% wealthiest households in all of the land, in from sea to shining sea? What would you have to be making to be part of the 10% wealthiest income earners in all the land, in all of the USA? If you make more than $124,000, congratulations, you are a 10%er. If your household income is greater than $124,000, that means take a look, pull out your 1040 form, the form that you did to do your taxes. Look at that front page. You don't have to look too hard. Just look at the very far lower right-hand corner. What does that number say? If it's greater than $124,000, congratulations, you are a 10%er. You are amongst the 10% most wealthy people from sea to shining sea. How do you feel? Feeling rich? You feeling like a 10%er? All right, let's push it a little further. Now, these are impressive numbers. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing to be ashamed of at $124,000. Don't get me wrong. But I look at $124,000 and saying to me, I believe that is a middle class right now. $124,000 to me, from what I see here in the North Shore, that's probably middle class. Maybe slightly higher than middle class, but that's where it is. My opinion. What do you have to be making to be considered part of the 5%ers in America? The 5% wealthiest America, wealthiest people, wealthiest households in America. What would you have to be making? Go ahead, ask yourself as you're driving in your car, heading off to church. Go ahead, ask the kids as they're driving around en route to that dance recital or off to the baseball game. What do you think, kids? What do you think you have to be making as a household at five to be part of the 5%ers or greater? The answer is $240,000. It's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. That is $20,000 a month in income. It's a lot of money. But at $240,000, you are considered amongst the 5% wealthiest households in all of America. And to be part of the 1% who to be part of the 1%, that number has to be, without much fanfare, $440,000. It's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. $440,000. No one is going to sneeze at an income like that, for sure. But at $440,000, if you're making that, do you feel like you're amongst the 1% wealthiest families in all of America? I don't know what your income is. I don't know what you're earning. I don't know what you're making here in the States, but here's what's most important to me. Not what you make, but what you keep. Because here's a little story, and it comes from a book that I wrote a couple of years ago called Retiring for the Genius, and it talks about two couples. One couple worked for the GE. He worked for the GE. She was at home. He made about $80,000 a year working for the GE. Started making $30,000, worked for the company for 30-some-odd years. His wife worked, did some part-time work. They raised three great kids, lived in a community in Beverly, had a Cape house, nice lawn. They liked to do things in the backyard, had family events. They were happy, and they were about to approach retirement. Second couple was a pulmonary surgeon or pulmonary something. He was a surgeon. I don't know if you can be a pulmonary surgeon. I don't know. Start with a P. He was a surgeon. Made on average $650,000 a year. 1%, all right? Made $650,000 a year. And he came to me and he said, "Mark, I want to retire." So these two guys come to us, these two families come to us right about the same time. And here's what we learned. The family who was making, started making $30,000 working at GE, made up to upwards of $70,000 or $80,000 or $90,000 during his last years. He had accumulated over $1 million in savings. $1 million in investments and savings. He was going to get a pension from GE. He was going to get a Social Security to collect. He began to realize that at age 65, he was going to get an income greater than what he was making while he was working. Then came the surgeon. The surgeon was making $650,000. He owned a home in Wenham. He also owned a very nice condo in Naples. He was a member of two country clubs. He and his wife looked like they were walking out of the Brooks Brothers catalog. They had mortgages on their properties. They had about $200,000 in collected savings and investments. And that, my friends, was all. And he wondered how he could retire. And I told him he couldn't. And he was 72 years old, making $650,000 a year. And he realized that in order to maintain his lifestyle, for which he spent every nickel that he ever made, he would have to work until he died in order to continue to live that lifestyle. So don't ever, ever be impressed by what someone tells you they make. How many times have you seen someone buy one of these McMansions and it looks nice from the front and you walk into the house and how many rooms are empty? Don't let someone's income impress you. It's not what you make, it's what you keep. And when we get back, we're going to put some framework around what does the average person keep in America. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 1.9. I don't have one thing on my mind, I do it for the long. I don't have.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial. Money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts at 41 Cross Street, just above the beautiful Alto Forno restaurant. We overlook the North Shore Mall parking lot. No, I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. The North Shore Mall has seen some great improvements over there. The part that I look over is the new wing of Macy's, or what I like to think of when I look out my window. I think, oh, that's where the toy soldiers used to be back in the 70s. If you have been around Peabody for that long, you know what I'm talking about. If you're new to the community, well, welcome, because there's so much to do locally. And I'm so proud and so proud to be part of a local radio station that really focuses on what is local here. So many great things going on around our community, and I hope you will take advantage of it. If you are new to the North Shore, to the Merrimack Valley and the southern New Hampshire area, be sure that you continue to tune in here to North Shore 104.9, because we are the local radio station that provides you information, news, updates, events of what's going on around town. If you haven't been to Salem Willows or up to Cape Ann, or if you haven't been out to the Merrimack Valley area or visited our seacoast in New Hampshire, all along the seacoast from Gloucester all the way down to Marblehead, to Salem, to Nahant, all these different areas. Revere Beach has really done a fabulous job updating themselves, but our beaches that we have here on the North Shore, whether it's Wingashick Beach to Good Harbor Beach and all these others, be sure to visit them. Go clamming. Enjoy up in Essex. Go visit Woodman's and go visit some of the great clam places that are up there. If you haven't had a real fried clam, if you're new to this area, by the way, clams have bellies. So if you're one of these New York transplants and you go to get fried clams, the clams will have bellies. And yes, you can eat them. You don't need to pick them off. Clams are awesome up here. Oh, and you know, a couple years ago, there was a clam shortage. Oh, I hated it. You couldn't get fried clams. Now, I will tell you, here's my thing about fried clams. Father's Day, that is my treat, to go for fried clams, and we go to Farnham's, and we go up to Woodman's, or somewhere, just somewhere along 133 in Essex to go get fried clams, and I so look forward to it. And then after I eat my fried clams, as I'm driving home, I'm going, oh, what the heck did I just do? Because it just sits there. But it was yummy. It was so yummy going up there. So, you know, go out, take the Hannah Glover out, go for a sunset cruise, go for a whale watch. Go watch your kid play softball. Go to some of the local events that are around town. Hey, over at the North Shore Mall, there's a new area called the Promenade. The Promenade that's opening up right across from where all those new restaurants are, but the central point of it will be where Tony C's is. If you walk outside of Tony C's, there's a great seating area, kind of like what they've done at Marketplace in Wakefield, where they have the outdoor seating. But if you go outside of Tony C's, right across kind of the walkway there, is a brand new stage, and it's all lit up. It's going to be the place where your kids will locally perform. I can just imagine it right now. It hasn't started yet. I think that'll happen sometime this summer. But it'll be the place where your local bands will play. Local kids will perform. Maybe they'll have the North Shore Idol or something, whatever they'll do. And I can tell you this, I can be well certain that North Shore 104.9 will be making its presence both there and in lots of locations all around the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. Seek them out. And you know what's really cool when you find them? Ask them for something free. Now, the free stuff that I see sitting around here, I mean, they got a lot of it. Now, there's some good stuff and there's some interesting stuff. If you need a chip clip, there's some of those to learn. Remember those little squeezy things? You know, some people use them as like banana clips for their hair, but other people will use them for chip clips. There's all sorts of good stuff. So be sure to follow around wherever North Shore 104.9 is going to be. Anyways, I digress again. I do this regularly each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Maybe we should call this called Financial Advice While Mark is Digressing. But no, it's financial advice in a language you can understand. We call this Dollars and Cents is our show. And so in the first couple segments, we've been talking about giving you a framework around what does it mean to make money? What is the right amount? Everyone's always asking me, how am I doing? How am I doing compared to everybody else? Well, if you missed the first couple segments of our show, please tune into our podcast. You can find that available on the North Shore 104.9 website. No, it's NorthShore1049.com website. Don't put the extra point in there or you'll get lost. Or you can go to my my podcast. If you go to Apple, you go to to iTunes, you search podcasts and type in Friedman Financial, and you'll find all of the Dollars and Cents podcasts that go back probably 5 years. You can always find something that will put you to sleep, I'm sure. So thanks for tuning into this show. Anyways, we've been talking about in the first couple segments how much people make on average for a household. So now we're going to talk about how much you keep. Well, here's something that's rather interesting. One of the great untold stories of the last two centuries is the virtual elimination of extreme poverty around the globe. You don't really hear this story. In 1820, virtually 1820. So how many years ago is that? Almost 200 years ago, right? In 1820, virtually 95% of the world lived in extreme poverty. While today, we've almost flipped those numbers on their head. The link between economic freedom, the ability to control and own your intellectual, personal, and business property, and structural slash technology innovation, thank you Walmart and Apple, of course, to mention a couple, has given ordinary people access to a lifestyle only dreamed of about less than a century ago, when the majority of governments had an iron grip on the economic levels within their societies. This is no small feat when you consider the previous 6,000 years of recorded history barely making a dent in these statistics. Think about this. Today, less than 5% of all of the world is considered impoverished. Think about that. 5% of the global, when you think about abject poverty. Now, I'm not talking about, well, I'm only making $15,000 or $20,000 a year. That's not abject poverty. Abject poverty means you're selling pen caps on the street to be able to buy water for the family. Less than 10% of every person that walks this earth is considered impoverished. I thought that's kind of interesting. When you think 200 years ago, 95% were impoverished. The world has changed. You don't hear those stories. That's not going to make the Fleecing of America story on ABC Nightly News. But that's something to think about. So now let's put into perspective, what does it mean to have wealth, to have a net worth? What is net worth? You hear that term a lot. Let me explain to you what net worth is, and then I will explain to you what net worth isn't. Net worth is very simply adding up everything you own and putting a value to it, and then subtracting out everything you owe. Everything you own less everything you owe is your net worth. So here's how you do this. Take a snapshot in time. Take out your April 30th statements. I don't care. Add up the value of your bank accounts, the money in your 401k, the money of your investment accounts, the cash value of your life insurance. Don't count the death benefit of your life insurance. If you own a $1 million life insurance policy, should that be part of your net worth? No, because when does that network, when does that $1 million come into play? When you're dead. It's not yours. But if you could cash out your life insurance policy and pull out the cash value, that has value. So everything you own, something that you could value right now, your bank accounts, your investment accounts, your 401ks, money that you have in a 403b, stocks that you own, annuities that you have, your house, your car, your jewelry, your furniture. Now, some of that stuff, that's subjective. You know, what do you think your house is worth? You know what your house is worth? Not what Zillow says. Your house is worth what somebody else is willing to pay less a fee. That's what your house is worth. Not what you think it's worth. It's what someone else is willing to pay. Think about that. Frankly, by the way, that's how the stock market works. When you see the price in the stock market every day, I don't care what stock you pick, what ETF you pick, what mutual fund you pick, but let's take a stock, for example. The XYZ stock is selling for $60 a share. Well, why is it at $60? Because there's something that's called an equilibrium in the market. There is an equal number of people willing to pay $60 and an equal number of people willing to sell that stock for $60. Now, if there is an inequality, let's say there are more people willing to buy a stock than there are people willing to sell a stock. What do you think happens to stock prices? Stock prices go up to meet the demand until we finally find that new equilibrium. Kind of what's happening right now with the Celtics. For instance, I have season tickets to the Boston Celtics. And someone said to me, Mark, why are you going to the games you could make a fortune on your tickets. I like going to the games. That's why I want to go to the games. That's why I have tickets. I didn't do this to make money. But honestly, my tickets right now, what I found out, I didn't even know this. Maybe I should sell them. My tickets for the Cleveland Cavaliers series are $220 a piece. I pay $85 for my ticket during the regular season. But this round, NBA Conference Finals, $220 a ticket. But if you go to the resale place, if I said I want to sell my tickets for $220, do you think there'd be more people willing to buy it or more people willing to sell tickets for $220? There's a lot more people willing to buy it, $220, because they see that's a deal. So the average price right now for my ticket that I could sell it for where the equilibrium is around $450. I'm not selling. I like my tickets. I'm going to the game. I like the experience. Nevertheless, I'm digressing once again. Financial advice with some digression along the way. We're talking about the value of a net worth. Everything you own, less everything you owe. So you add all the stuff up that you own, and then you subtract out what you owe. What do you owe? Mortgage. Equity loan. Credit cards. Student loan. Car payment. Not what the payment is. What's the amount that you owe? So let's say your house is worth $500,000, and you have a mortgage of $400,000. What is the net worth of your home? $100,000, right? Everything you own less everything you owe. So you add up all of that. So you come up with a number. So what is the average net worth? What is the average net worth of Americans? Well, I got those answers. And it comes from a website that's called don'tquityourdayjob.com. DQYDJ. I found this website a while ago. I use it. It's got great calculators, great pieces of information, great resources for you to help you understand what you're worth. Well, get this. Before we even think about net worth, understand what net worth is not. Net worth isn't what you have to invest. But many financial advisors out there will talk to you about a term called investable net worth. Investable net worth generally doesn't count your 401k. But unless you're leaving your job. Investable net worth counts only the money that they can invest for you. That is not net worth, folks. Net worth, if you want to do it through the lens of financial planning, is everything you own less everything you owe. You've heard this statistic recently that the average 401k balance, if you have a 401k right now, I want you to think, close your eyes, think about what the value of your 401k is. Average 401k balance in America, you know what that is? Go ahead, come on, take a guess. Average 401k balance in America, $84,000. Oh, Tony, my producer, kind of gave me this look. Say, really? I know, you're thinking it's too high, right, Tony? No, I didn't think so. But seriously, average 401k in America, $84,000. Now, honestly, that might shock you, but I want you to think about how many kids just got out of college this past month who will start a 401k in a month. What's their average balance going to be? $10? Remember, average. Average means squat, as far as I'm concerned, when you start talking about national averages. You have to put things into perspective. So when we get back, I'm going to finally take this net worth number, and I'm going to tell you, based upon household net worths in America, 132 million people, where does your net worth fall on the national scale? We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in the last and final segment of our show with lots of financial advice in a language you can understand. Today, we've been talking about money, money that you make, money that you keep. What? And it's an answer to the question, how am I doing? Now, I hate answering the question of how I'm doing because you know what? I know how I'm doing. I'm feeling pretty good. It's a Sunday. You know, it's great, beautiful, and Celtics are in, Red Sox are playing well, Patriots coming back, lots of things going here on the North Shore. MAME starts to open up at the North Shore Music Theater. There's all sorts of things to do. And you know what's even more exciting? In less than a few weeks, my daughter Mindy moves out. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Mindy's moving out into her own new apartment. Actually, it's less than a few weeks. June 1st, she's going. Isn't that what we look forward to? I know it's tough to let your kids go, and Mindy's, you know, well, there'll be a sad moment when Mindy's actually moving out, but isn't that why we raise our kids? We raise our kids to try to teach them so that they can be prepared for the real world, and you know what? Mindy graduated from college this Saturday from Babson, and on June 1st, she's moving out. She got an apartment with her girlfriends on the Brighton-Brookline line in Boston. She got her first job with Eaton Vance Mutual Funds, which she will start on the 15th of June. Isn't that what we all want for our kids? She's excited to be independent. She's excited to make mistakes. A little nervous, of course. But that's all good. That's all good. So when you think about Mindy, and we talked about it in the last segment, what's the average 401k balance in America? Average 401k balance in America, remember what that number was? What did I say, about $84,000, $86,000, something like that. Average 401k. And you might think, oh, God, really? Well, think about poor Mindy, who will start her 401k in about 6 months when she's eligible over at Eaton Vance. And how much money will she have in that 401k? And how many other college graduates who are starting a 401k this year, or kids that graduated college last year, have in their 401k? You'll understand why $84,000 is that middle number. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, wait a second, I'm 67 years old. I damn well better have more than $87,000 in my 401k if I'm going to support my lifestyle. Well, I hope you do. But we weren't talking about 67-year-olds or 64-year-olds. We were talking about the nation. And that's one of the problems with the statistics. You have to always try to fine-tune the statistics to what's relevant to you, not what's relevant to the country. Earlier in our show today, we talked about the average household income in America. And I know many people found that to be quite shocking. Later in the show, we started to drill down even further and we started to look at what is the average household income on the North Shore? What's the average household income in Massachusetts? And people began to realize that what's average here is different from what's average nationally. What we consider wealthy is different from what other people consider wealthy. If I were to ask you right now, I want you to think to yourself, all right, think about what you're making right now. How much more would you have to be making to consider yourself well off? Everybody thinks about that number in their head. And you know what the general answer is? Twice what you're making. Jeez, if I could double that, oh my God, I'd be well off. It's not what you make. It's what you keep. And that's what matters. And so today we're talking about net worth in this last and final segment. And I told you that I would use this website called DQY, don'tquityourdayjob.com. It's really an aggregator website. It's a place that pulls in information from the U.S. Census Bureau and a lot of other economic statistics for you to be able to slice and dice and carve up all of this data so you can get some good information. Well, what I have is net worth information as of 2016. I mean, I think that's close enough. It's estimated based upon reports out of the Federal Reserve Bank through the U.S. Census Bureau, and it talks about what the average net worth is of Americans across this country. Because, frankly, I don't care how much money you make. I told the story about two people, the one that made $650,000 and one that was making $65,000. And at retirement, the $65,000 client had $1 million saved, and the $650,000 client had $250,000 to his name. I mean, forget about how much you make. It doesn't matter, folks. It's what you keep. So let's take a look at net worth. How are you going to fall into this category? So I want you to remember, net worth is everything you own less everything you owe. Everything you own less everything you owe. So in order to be considered part of the poorest 10% of Americans, under 10%, the poorest, you would have to have a net worth of negative, get this, $962. To be part of the poorest 10%,
And you know what I see today? I see a lot of Americans that have a pretty significant negative net worth. That's because they owe more than what they have. They have mortgages. They have car loans. They have student loans. Think about this. If you're graduating from college right now and you have student loans that total $200,000 and you have $20,000 in the bank, you have a net worth of negative $180,000. Right? That's your net worth. So you would be considered amongst the poorest 10% in America. Is that where you wanted to be coming out of college? The poorest 10%? So, you know, let's be realistic, though. I mean, most kids coming out of college aren't going to have the largest net worth, nor should they be expected to. But we're looking at everybody, and that's how they do these things. That's how the national studies come out. They include everybody in one big lump. Not, oh, let's take a look at net worths for people between the ages of 50 and 65. Well, that would be a totally different picture now, wouldn't it? But the national average. So you're in the amongst the poorest 10%. To be amongst the poorest 10%, your net worth must be negative $962 or more, or less, however you want to, you understand. So negative $10,000, negative 20, you're in the negative, in the poorest 10%. To get yourself out of the poorest 10% and to get between that 10 to 20% bracket, you need to have a net worth between negative 962 and $5,000. I'll round the numbers to make it easy. How's that? So if you have a net worth of between negative 1,000 and positive 5,000, you're amongst the 20% of the poorest Americans in all of the country. All right, let's move this thing up. Let's ratchet it up a little bit. To be part of the 50 percenters, to be right in the middle, people are always asking, Mark, how am I doing? How am I doing? Well, here's your net worth figure. If your net worth is greater than $97,000, I'll round it to 100. If your net worth is greater than $100,000, or at $100,000, I should say, you're a 50 percenter. 50% of the U.S. population is wealthier than you, and 50% of the U.S. population is poorer than you. How are you feeling? Something tells me those that are listening to this radio station are thinking, I don't feel that wealthy, but based upon these statistics, Mark, you're going to really surprise me on this one. All right, let's move up to the 70 percenters. To be part of the 70% most wealthy people in America, so to be on that 70% pinpoint, so less than this number, if you're at this number, then I'm going to tell you, you are wealthier than 70% of all U.S. households. If you have a total net worth of $279,000, you are wealthier than 70% of all Americans. There are many people that that bought their house back in 1972 on, let's say, Rolling Hills in Peabody. And like I grew up in 16 Albert Road, is where my first home was when I was a kid. And from 1967, I should say, to 1971, I think my parents paid $19,900 for the house. And what's that house worth today? What, $500,000 bucks? $400,000, something like that? If you've been living in your house that long, I mean, perhaps that's your net worth right there. And you're amongst the 70% of the wealthiest people in America. Should we ratchet it up even more? You want to know what you have to be for a total net worth in America? Total net worth to be part of the 80%. The 80% most wealthiest people have a net worth of at least $500,000. $500,000. Okay? And to be part of the 90% or the wealthy 10 percenters, your net worth must be greater than $1.1 million. To be part of the wealthiest 10% in all the land, from sea to shining sea, you must have a total net worth in excess of $1.1 million. That means you are a millionaire. Do you feel like a millionaire with a net worth over $1.1 million? No. All right. So some people ask me, Mark, all right, so what does it mean to be part of the one percenter? How much does my net worth have to be part of the 1%? Now, this number is a big number that I'm going to give you. But I think you're surprised to find out many of you are in the top 10%. 1% is $10 million. There's very few people that have a net worth greater than $10 million. But there are even fewer people, remember, that are part of this group that have a net worth of $1 billion or $100 million. You want to know a fun website to go to? Go to a website that's called Celebrity Net Worth. Have you ever been there? Go to Celebrity Net Worth and type in your favorite celebrity. Whether it's a sports star, whether it's an actress, whether it's a radio host, I don't care who it is. These are celebrities. But you can type in Sylvester Stallone, type in Matt Damon, type in, I don't care who you type in. Type in names. Celebrity net worth. You know what you're going to find out? That many celebrities that you think have an extraordinary net worth might not have as big of a net worth as you think. You see, there's a lot to be said for being a celebrity and a lot to be said for somebody that makes a lot of money. One of the things that comes with being a face, a voice, a talent, whatever it is that you get a lot of physical exposure, whether it's auditory, whether it's by you viewing it, by you smelling it because they're a fancy cook or whatever it might be. But just because you have a celebrity status does not necessarily put you in the camp of wealthy. You know what comes with celebrity status? A lot of stuff, a lot of baggage. Think about if you were, think about Terry Rozier, for instance, right now. Terry Rozier, who plays for the Celtics, or Jaylen Brown, or Marcus Tatum. Not Marcus Tatum, oh my God, not Marcus. That's Marcus Smart. Jason Tatum, sorry. So think about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. If they go walking around town right now, people see them as celebrities. How much money are they making? How much money do they keep? Remember, they're still on rookie contracts or first-year contracts, which don't get me wrong, they pay a lot of money. But how much do they really, really have, and how long will they be able to accumulate that? But they can't go out anywhere, can they, without being hassled? I don't want to say harassed, but hassled. They go to sit down, they'll go to Del Frisco's in Boston. Or maybe they'll come to Alto Forno in Peabody or Palana in Peabody. Can they go a night without getting asked for an autograph? Without having a selfie? Being stared out by every family? To say, hey, that's Jaylen Brown, that's Jaylen Brown. Celebrity status comes with a lot of baggage. And some people that abuse it, let it go to their head. And they believe that power can be what really becomes in celebrity. And then it all comes tumbling down when it doesn't work out as well as you had hoped. For those of you that are doing well financially, don't ever forget where you came from. Remember the struggles that you once had. Embrace your success. Be philanthropic. Give back to your community and be grateful. We'll see you next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.